Pick up your Bibles this morning and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 22 and 23 this morning. Four different kinds of faith. And I'll ask again at the end, which kind does God want you to have? What kind does God want you to have? So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. Says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace again, and we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to gather together in your house to worship you. I pray, Father, that we have come putting aside all the things of the world, all the encumbrances in our lives, all the things that easily beset us, I pray, Father, that our undivided attention would be on you and your word. And I pray as we look at these four kinds of faith, I pray, Father, that we would be able to answer this question, what kind of faith do you want us to have? So we thank you for this time. I pray, Father, that you put the very words I need to preach in my mouth. I pray that you would get all the glory, honor, and praise that's due your name. And I thank you for what you're going to accomplish in each life, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are people who attend football games on a regular basis because that stuff is real to them. They eat, they sleep, and they breathe football. There are some people that no matter what happens, football is it. As I mentioned before, we door knocked and this guy across the valley, and he said, I'm in church every Sunday except during football season. And of course, you know, I mentioned with the lack of tact that I have, I said, then football's your God. He immediately argued with me, but is that not true? If something comes between you and God, that is your God. Your little g God, by the way. God calls them idols. There are others that will attend football games, and you wonder why they even showed up, right? You're like, why are these people even here? They're not interested in this. What are they doing? Some show up at a football game just because somebody invited them. Some are bored and they got nothing else to do, so they go. Some, they just like a large crowd, so they show up at a football game because, well, let's face it, at football, you're going to have a large crowd. Generally, there's two kinds of people you find at the football game. Those who are there because they love football, and those that are there for some other reason. It's all you're going to find there. We find the same thing in church. Isn't that interesting? You find the same thing in church. There's some there in church because they love the Lord. That's why they show up. Then there's those who show up for different reasons. It's always exciting to find people in church because they have personally come to know Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior, and they believe what this Bible teaches. They believe it. They love the Lord. And they show up in his house when the doors are open. I want you to know, I truly believe what this book teaches. Every last bit of it. I'm not like some of them that said, well, that's what it says, but this is what he actually meant. No, I say this is what God said, and this is what God meant. I believe it wholeheartedly. If I didn't, I certainly wouldn't be preaching it. I believe everything the Word of God teaches. We call this belief in the Christian life? Faith. Believe it by faith. Either you have it or you don't. You either believe the Word of God is true or you don't. You know, it's kind of like that. You can't be kind of pregnant. Either they are or they aren't, right? You either have faith or you don't. It's that simple. So how do we receive faith? Well, as we read, it is one in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. It always interests me when people will be preaching on this and they'll say, I'm going to preach on the fruits of the Spirit. Well, where did you get that? Well, it's right here in the Word of God. No, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. So you're going to preach on it, you better preach on the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruits of the Spirit. People go, well, there's a whole list there. Yes, all those things make up the fruit of the Spirit. You say, but where do you get that? I get it from the Word of God. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's very clear. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and operate in our life, the more we're going to have faith. We're going to possess this thing called faith. So what is it? Well, faith is a number of things. There are four different kinds of faith that I want to look at today. And everybody probably possesses one of them. There's simple faith. Now, let me say, faith is not wishful thinking. There's a lot of people that think it's wishful thinking, and we all do a lot of wishful thinking, right? But faith is not wishful thinking. So, what is wishful thinking in the Bible? It's the act of forming beliefs based on what is pleasing to the person instead of evidence or reality. There's a lot of people who have this wishful thinking thing. I wish that God would tell me to do this or that or the other thing, but not what he tells me I have to do, right? I mean, God says that we're supposed to be witnesses. Well, I wish I didn't have to do that part. Well, he didn't save us to sit around and do nothing. He saved us to be witnesses. I mean, it's very clear in the Bible. Now, there's some children out there that I better going through the day today wishing that there's no school tomorrow, right? Well, they can wish all they want, but it doesn't change the facts, right? The problem with wishful thinking is that the person and his feelings become the basis of the supposition. When Isaiah called Israel to change, they refused. Look at Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 9. Isaiah 30, verse 9, says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. He says, this is a rebellious people. We could look all around and say, this is a rebellious people. I mean, they're everywhere. They only wish to hear the things that make them feel good. Right? There's a lot of people out there that they just want to hear what they want to hear, and you don't get to preach on anything else because they don't want to hear that stuff. And if you preach on the things that God tells you to preach, then they'll get up and leave because they don't want to hear that stuff. It's interesting how people want only what makes them feel good about themselves. Folks, if God's not convicting you of your sin, you got a problem. Because the Holy Spirit will convict us when we sin. If it's not happening in your life, maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit. Just saying. When Jeremiah was telling everyone that God had determined to wipe out Jerusalem, most people did not wish to hear this message. And oh, it's not a good message, right? You want to wipe out everybody? This isn't good. So they want to hear that. They preferred what the false teachers were teaching and preaching on. That they liked that better. They told them everything was fine. That's what they want to hear, right? I had a guy one time tell me, I just want to go to church and feel good about myself. Then why go? I like to go to church to be convicted. I like to go to church and find out what the Word of God says. I like to, and people say, but you're preaching. I've already studied it. But you know what's interesting? You can study all you want, and then when you go to present it, it's like God's still speaking to you. Amazing. I love it when he does that. Jeremiah 5:31 says, the prophets prophesize falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? This problem still continues today. Turn over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What's going on today? Do you know what I wish is irrelevant? I've got to seek the truth regardless, even if it's painful. It's interesting how people would rather have the lies that are being propagated out there than the truth. I've said for years, I want the truth because then I know what I'm dealing with. If I got a lie, I have no idea what I got. Even when the news is bad, I still want the truth because then you can deal with that. I remember years ago, my mother went to the doctor and they said, there's nothing wrong with you. She kept having problems. She kept going back. There's nothing wrong with you. Something's wrong because this ain't in my head, you know. Something's wrong here. She kept going back. She kept being sent home. Finally got a email. It was a letter that was written and it was email. And the gal that cleaned the office building I was at, she left it on my desk. Because her and I one night, she was in there cleaning while I was working. And she said, how's things going? I told her about my mom and she... Next night, she left this thing on my desk, and so I read it, and I said, my mom could have written this. And it went through everything she was going through. Turned out that lady had ovarian cancer. Long story short, I gave it to my mom to read, and she said, I could have written this. She said, I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Can I take this? I said, that's your copy. Take it. So she takes it to the doctor and says, here, read this. He said, that's what we think you have. You've sent me home four times saying nothing's wrong. You can't deal with nothing's wrong when it's cancer. You have to know the truth. Just give me the truth so we know what we're dealing with, right? Then later on they came back and said it wasn't cancer. Then they came back again and said, oh, we messed up, it is. Just give us the truth, because then we know what we're dealing with. See, but people want the lies because they don't want the truth. People wanted the truth, churches would be packed. I'm talking his churches. I'm not talking some of those places they call a church. But his churches would be packed out because people would want the truth. So what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Someone else has put it in these words, and I'm not saying that these are better than God's words. I'm just saying somebody else had put it this way. I got some preacher stand in the pulpit and say, well, a better way of putting it. No, I'm just saying somebody else put it this way. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain what we do not see. For example, I got to go hear Brother Sam Davidson preach this last week. I've known that man for quite a while now, and always a blessing to hear him preach the Word of God. It's amazing the knowledge that man has on the Word of God, and it's just a blessing. But if I were to invite him to come preach, not next Sunday, we have somebody, but the Sunday after that, if I invited him to come, I would hope that he would come. But I might even wish that he would come. But I don't have anything until he actually accepted an invitation to come and told me he would definitely be here, right? Then I know he'll be here. Otherwise, it's just wishful thinking. Just wishful thinking on my part. Faith, in a nutshell, is confidence that God is who he says he is. He is, by the way. God is who he says he is. Confidence that God can do what he says he will do. And he does. Confidence that he will do all he has promised to do. And he will. I like this. John Wesley was once engaged in a very important conference with some leading theologians. The subject of discussion was faith. All the men of God were digging for theological words to describe faith. No one was able to furnish a definition satisfactory to himself or the rest of those present. Since the preachers could not come up with a definition, Mr. Wesley turned to a godly woman and said, "Tell us what faith is to you." Without hesitation, she said, "It is taking God at his word." Mr. Wesley said, "That will do. End of discussion." Taking God at his word. Faith, just simply taking God at his word. He will do what he has promised to do. But it takes the Holy Spirit working in our lives to convince us of that faith. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to control our life, the more our faith will become greater and greater and greater. The Holy Spirit is sent to guide us. If, I always like that little word, if we will allow him to work in our lives. As we allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide us, each and every day, we get closer and closer and closer to him. Simple faith. Simple faith. Then there's shattered faith. Shattered faith. If we're not careful, the things that are going on in our lives and all can shatter our faith that we have in Almighty God. Most of us probably remember those horrible days when Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker were on television across this nation. Many believed in those guys so strongly that they sent them thousands upon thousands of dollars. But once the information of their private lives came out, it shattered the faith of all those people that followed them. There are things that we see and hear that can shatter our faith. You talk to people, they'll tell you, I used to be a preacher of the gospel. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to sing in the choir. I used to drive a church bus and bring hundreds of children to the church. I used to attend every time the doors were open. I used to read my Bible every day. I used to pray every day. Everything they talk about is past tense. Everything. They once faithfully served the Lord, but something happened that shattered their faith. Something in their life happened. It's interesting when parents experience the death of a child due to an overdose. Shatters their faith. They blame God. They're hurting. They're hurting so bad they've got to blame somebody. So they refuse to step foot in the church again. This is all God's fault. Their faith is completely shattered. Gone. But the problem with this is these parents are blaming God for something that He didn't do. Their child chose to take those drugs. Their child is the one to blame for doing the drugs in the first place. The child chose the drugs. God didn't. But their faith is shattered. Many people, they'll have a child that's stillborn. Or they'll have a child that comes into the world and within a year, God's taken them home. They blame God. They don't think, what could God have been keeping that child from? Their faith is shattered. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. See, there's all kinds of things that can happen that would shatter our faith. There's two reasons a person's faith can be shattered. First one's poor choices. I know nobody in this room's ever made a poor choice, right? No, we always make good choices, right? Anybody here never leave God out of a decision before you made it? I'd like to say we haven't, but let's be honest. Every one of us is created as a free moral agent. We get to choose what we do. We have the ability to make choices. And sometimes we don't make the best choices. It happens. We can choose an action that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. And as I mentioned this morning. We get to suffer the consequences. I remember years ago, a young man married a young lady, and they were unequally yoked because of their faith in different things. I knew it was a disaster before it happened. He'd been warned. He didn't care. She was beautiful. That's all that mattered. He made his choice. They got married. Within a couple years, he realized it wasn't the right decision. Well, no, people tried to warn him. God was not in that. Realized it was one of the worst decisions he'd ever made. Another thing that can shatter our faith is unexplained tragedies. Yeah. One of the mysteries in life is, why do bad things happen to good people? And we ask that question, right? Without thinking about what the Bible says. There's none good. No, not one. But we always ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, because it does. We don't have a problem with bad things happen to bad people, right? We think they're getting what they deserve. But when it happens to good people, we think, why is God allowing that to happen? Bad people having bad things happen, they're reaping what they sowed. But good people, why is that happening? Sometimes God's people will look around at the circumstances that surround them, and they allow the circumstances to shatter their faith. Let me say this, life is like a puzzle. You start putting the pieces together and you don't get a sense of what's all there until you get it finished. And then you get the whole picture. Thinking that Joseph's life, as he was sold into slavery and all, probably didn't make much sense to him. Joseph was thinking, oh, man, I'm a pretty good person, right? That's what you hear from people. I'm a good person. Are you sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? Well, I think so. I'm a good person. No, wrong answer. But I'm sure Joseph didn't, sold into slavery by his brothers, I'm sure he didn't understand what was going on. But later, when he was highly exalted in the kingdom, he told his brothers, turn over and let's read this. Genesis 50, verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph could say, you meant it for evil. God used it for good. I think of Romans 8, 28. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Yes. All things. That's not for lost people. That's directed to save people. The Holy Spirit of God can fill us with such faith that we can be like Job. Job lost his health, his children, his wealth, respect, his friends. Well, so-called friends, right? But listen to what Job said, Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job had a strong faith. Number three is shaping faith. Shaping faith. So what is shaping faith? Every day of life, the Lord is carving and molding us into his image. We live in an age where people go to the plastic surgeon, right? They take a picture in and say, make me look like this. And a plastic surgeon will go to work on them and voila, they look like the picture they took in. Every day, God is carving and molding us into the image of his Son. Every day. This molding and all applying pressure can be painful. There are men, I've watched it done in the past, where they'll take a chainsaw and they'll carve a bear out of a stump. Amazing to watch them work. And it's like, how did you see that in that? But they do that. And one time, one of them was asked how he did it. He replied, it's so easy. Says, so easy? Says, yeah. I crank up my chainsaw, and everything that does not look like a bear, I carve out. Isn't that what God's doing in our lives? Anything that doesn't look like the Lord Jesus Christ, he's trying to carve out. If we submit to him. There's some things in our life that come, and we need to just say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I know you do, and I'm trusting you. See, that's hard for us to get to that point. I don't understand what's going on, but I know God does, and I'm just going to trust him. We need to have faith like that. Because God's only going to do what's best for us. He loves us. He only wants what's best for us. One day, John Wesley again was walking with a troubled man who expressed his doubt as to the goodness of God. He said, I do not know what I shall do with all this worry and trouble. At the same moment, Wesley saw a cow looking over a stone wall. Wesley said, do you know why that cow is looking over that stone wall? No, the man said. Wesley said, the cow is looking over the wall because she cannot see through it. That is what you must do with your wall of trouble. Look over it. Faith enables us to get above our circumstances. Remember that God never promised to deliver us from our circumstances, but he has promised to see us through our circumstances. And the fourth one is saving faith. Saving faith. The beginning of this sermon, I mentioned that the fruit of the Spirit, that list of them, one of those in the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faith. The more we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, the more the fruit of faith grows in our life. So how does saving faith work in our life to start with? Look at John chapter 6 and verse 44, and this will be the last one we go to. John chapter 6 and verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Notice he says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So how does he draw us? Well, the Holy Spirit of God is the one who draws us to the Father. I remember as a teenager, I was invited to a little Baptist church. I heard the preaching of the Word of God. I'd like to say I heard it one time when I got saved, but that's not how it worked. Had to penetrate the thick skull for a while. But then the Holy Spirit of God started dealing with me, working on my heart, and I knew I didn't want to die and go to hell. But I knew that's where I was headed. Told the story here before. My mom called up the pastor and got me in the car and drove me to the pastor's house, and at his kitchen table, he led me to the Lord. The Holy Spirit was drawing me, and I got saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget that man. He's gone on to be with the Lord already. One day I'll see him again. But the Holy Spirit has to draw. Has to draw us to God the Father. And Jesus, His only begotten Son, is the one that saves us. By His finished work on the cross, by His shed blood, our sins are covered, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Was a saving faith that saved me that night. It's a saving faith that saves every single person that comes to Jesus Christ for salvation. I like the fact that we all have to come the same way. You don't have enough money to buy salvation, even if you could. You can't do enough good works to be saved. But when the Holy Spirit draws, God has given you a choice. A choice that only you can make. Do I accept that free gift? Or do I reject that free gift? The choice is yours. As I said earlier, we are all free moral agents. We get to make our choice. So there's four kinds of faith. Which one does God want you to have? We had simple faith, we had shattered faith, we had shaping faith, and we have saving faith. And if we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives after we come to know Christ as Savior, our faith will grow and grow. And grow. The Bible also talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. So we have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Let me just say today, if the Holy Spirit's working in your heart and you have never accepted Christ as Savior, if He's drawing you, it's your chance. Don't waste. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for faith. The faith that your word is true. The faith that Jesus came and died and rose again that we could have eternal life. Saving faith that's available to everyone as the Holy Spirit draws us. Pray, Father, if there's someone in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. For those of us who have, I pray that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to work in our lives, shaping us, making us into the image of your dear Son. So, Father, we'll have a time of invitation this morning. No one comes, we'll close. We just pray, Father, that you would work in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able to stand. As the piano plays, if you need to come, you come.